Bill Johnson quote. Justin would have liked this one. I can't afford to have a thought in my head about me that God doesn't have about me. And that will be true about anything. I cannot afford to have a thought in my head about anything that God doesn't have. So it's so important that we have those things dealt with within the context of our thinking so we can think like a son. Then we act like a son, we can do the things that a son does, then there are no limitations, no restrictions, no obstacles. It's this little thing on the Matrix background. It says, are we content to remain earthbound, restricted, living in a carefully constructed illusion that reduces us to the status of mere mortals? Are you content or not?
No.
No, no, I'm not. I'm not content anymore to be restricted by my own understanding and my own thinking. So I want to encourage you to invite God to engage your mind and your consciousness. If he can walk in my mind and show you the pillars and construct of my mind, he can walk in yours. It may look different. It may think different. He may just tell you something, but be open to invite him. For me, I'm open. I'm a living sacrifice to God. Therefore, he can do whatever he wants. Because I know whatever he's going to do is going to be for my benefit and it's going to bless me. Even though it might not be easy, sometimes it can be very tough. But bottom line is that love is to transform and change. So invite God to penetrate your mind with truth. If you have strongholds, what's going to knock them down? Are you going to knock them down? Or is the truth going to knock them down? And sometimes the truth is like a hammer. And it has to hit the stronghold, the wall. I mean, I quite like making things. I like making things more than deconstructing things, in reality. But I do quite like sometimes getting a sledgehammer and hitting some stuff. And when you start to demolish something that's built with concrete and blocks and all those things, it takes sometimes quite a few hits to loosen all of the bonds between the different blocks. And to start with, it doesn't look like you're doing anything. You hit it, and you hit it, and nothing seems to be happening. Then you hit it, and you feel the give. And then you hit it, and it starts to go, and you hit it, and it comes down. A lot of people don't go beyond that I'm hitting it, and nothing's happening. So sometimes the process that God brought through takes time, and he has to hit our strongholds a few times with different things to get them to the point where they're shaken loose enough to collapse. So invite him. Invite the truth to penetrate your mind. Invite God to walk into your mind and show you the constructs and the frameworks of your belief systems. It's not that difficult if you relax. The key is relax. Don't strive. Remember, you are not separating your own soul and spirit. You are not demolishing that stronghold. The truth, and he is the truth, is going to do that if you embrace the truth and allow it to do its work. You may feel disorientated. I did a number of times, felt, I don't know where I am. I don't even know what reality is anymore. But I found that the old reality wasn't reality at all. It was an illusion. I was living in an illusion created by those frameworks. So let's just do that. I'm going to use some of the crystal bowls, and I'm going to release some frequencies that contain truth to demolish strongholds. Now I'm just going to use my intention to do that. We're going to play some music in the background, which is actually called The Renewal of the Mind. Samuel has produced lots of music that does background stuff to these activations. This one is one of the three he's done on The Renewal of the Mind. And we'll do it. And what I want to encourage you to do is to relax. Close your eyes. Take a few deep breaths and make the choice. Just make that choice to allow the frequency of the music, which was been written with the intention for renewal of the mind, and the crystal bowl frequencies, which are going to have the intention to demolish strongholds, that he would walk with you in that process. So just invite him to walk in that process within the framework and the grid work of your mind. Let the music come around you and go through you, begin to activate the truth. Just let the truth penetrate your mind to begin to challenge some of those pillars of your thinking. Okay, well, essentially, all of us are on a journey, and this journey is about discovering the full meaning of the restoration of all things. You'll have lots of areas of your life that are on journeys, and they'll be converging as who you are from eternity is converging into time. And therefore, we want to discover the full restoration and the full scope of it. Don't chicken out and run. Okay? I don't get, you know, it might get tough. When you start to share this with people, some people won't like it. Yeah, a lot of people might not like it. If you're in a group of people who are exploring these things, it's awesome. Yep. You know, for me, it's a privilege to be in amongst the people who are all on a journey, and I don't get any flack from that stuff. I'm meeting people online all week, every week, and we've got one heart and one mind. We're all on, we may not all understand, but we're on a journey. So I don't get a lot of hassle from it all. And I do legislate that people won't see our material. We don't need to see it. Because why would I want people to see it if it's going to upset them? Unless God designs it to upset them, to give them a trauma that will shock them out of their complacency and wrong things. Now, I was traumatized quite a few times during this process. That's why it feels like that. It's like, you know, well, a lot of times. But the key scripture, obviously, I don't think anyone's quoted this scripture, actually, the whole time we've been here. Acts 3:19, therefore repent, or change your mind, let's say, return, so that the sins, because it's the, and it's not in the English, but it's in the Greek, thus, a particular set of things, it's the mindset of lost identity, may be wiped away in order times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, not the coming of the Lord. Because again, coming puts it off to another time. Presence means it's here. That he may send Jesus. Now remember, this was written before AD 70. So Jesus has come. That's why we're in the period of the restoration of all things. Because if Jesus had to remain and not actually be active, then we wouldn't see this period. So he's come in us. So we are the carriers of his presence, in which we are Jesus to the world. I mean, that's the reality. We're his body. He might be the head, but we're the rest. And where does he place his government? On the shoulders, which is us. So we carry his authority for the restoration of all things, but we need times of refreshing to enable us to continually do that. So the deeper I've gone in my relationship with the Father, the more I've come to know the Father's heart, and I found there are these two key priorities for my life, which are the restoration of sonship and the restoration of all things, all other things. And those two things really sum up the way my life goes. That's what I'm looking for. So my journals are filled with conversations relating to sonship, restoration, and because it's the heart of God. You know, now, he may speak to you about a lot of other things because you're all different and you've got other things. But whatever he's speaking to you about, it is going to encompass sonship and it is going to encompass the restoration of all things because that's what he's doing. Son, it's important that my children know the difference between knowing about me and being fathered by me. Restoring contact is only the beginning. Being fathered is a much deeper relationship. See, I got restored from minus 100 on the father scale to zero. And I was healed. The wounds were gone, everything. But I'd never been fathered by anybody. If you've never been fathered, it's quite difficult to know what it is to have a father and what he does. So I had this relationship with the Father. And one day he said to me, how do you know that I love you? And I'm like, oh, what sort of a question is that? You know? But, you know, I thought, well, because, you know, intimacy. Now, you know, you can view intimacy through what other people say intimacy is. Now, a lot of people, the intimacy is the warm fuzzies, as I call it. You know, that sort of, oh, yeah, oh, it's wonderful. And you all that warm fuzzies. No, I have warm fuzzies at times, but that's not my love language. Because this is what God was asking. What's your love language? Do you know what it is? Well, I know my earthly love language is. My heavenly language, I don't have a clue. So when I engage God, what fills my emotional tank? Is it the hugs? Is it the gifts? What is it? Well, for me, it was pure quality time. Just being with him, even if he didn't say anything, do anything, was pure bliss. No, it wasn't necessarily the externals. You know, I'm not such an external expression of what's going on as the inside is Justin or whatever. You can see what's going on the inside with him just by the look on his face.
Yeah.
You can. It's just no, there's no, but probably sometimes you can't read what's going on the inside of me by the look on my face, because what's going on, intimacy for me is just being in the Father's presence. And when he says stuff to me, that just blows my socks off. Because it's quality time with quality revelation and relationship, fellowship, sharing heart. You know, and, you know, I used to share quite a lot of my heart with him. Now I share less of my heart with him because I want to listen mostly to his heart, which then causes me to respond. So fathering is absolutely important. And God said this, my desire is to share my heart, my thoughts, and to show my children my ways, not just my works. And we've sought the heart of God, the works of God, the hand of God, the miracles, you know, and so many people chase after that stuff. Now, I've been in all of it. You know, I've had gold dust all over me, oil pouring out of my hands. I've been carried out of meetings, unable to move. You know, I've rolled around the floor, rocked and rolled with the best of them. You know, all of those experiences, I've had them all, you know. But actually, I wouldn't swap one of those experiences for 1 second of intimacy in the Father's presence where he's sharing his heart with me. And I'm not knocking any of those things. And the gemstones and the feathers, and they're all signs that point us to something. Don't chase the sign. If you go to a meeting to get gemstones, rather than the one to meet the one who gives the gemstones, you're going for the wrong reason. Pursue the giver, not the gifts, because the gifts will flow from the giver. But if you're pursuing your gifts and you want only the things that he gives you, that's not relationship. Do you only want a relationship with God because he gives you stuff? Or do you want to be in relationship? Because it's the being which is really important in this. Just being. You know if I never did another thing for God, it wouldn't change our relationship a jot, not a jot. And if he didn't do another thing for me, it would not change our relationship a jot. Because I went through the process of going through the separation of soul and spirit and dealing with my soul's needs and why I was using my soul's that to validate myself and what I was doing and all of that, you know, I'm doing this. Now, it wasn't conscious. It was a lot of it was unconscious, but it was a mixture of motives. I had to have that purified and refined. It was a 4-month period of misery where I couldn't see anything, hear anything, do nothing. And my soul lost the plot because I needed to know. I needed to know what God was doing. I'm wired to know what God was doing, and he wouldn't tell me. Because he needed to address why I needed to know. Because my knowledge validated my identity as the one who knows. Because how could I be the one who knows if I don't know anything? But you might be a servant. And if you can't serve, who are you? You're the same person. But we get so caught up with the doing and the identity that God won't give you and take you into things that he wants to unless that gets dealt with. There's a level you can go to. And then if you want to go deeper, the soul has to be dealt with. The separation of soul and spirit. I listened to Ian Clayton's teaching on it. And it was like, okay, that's a good concept. Get the concept. Then when he started doing the activation, I'm like, whoa, I didn't resonate with it at all. Because he's such a man, isn't he? So I'm taking this axe and I'm dividing this wood. And that works for him. It works for him. I looked at that. I was like, if I did that, I'd be doing it. And if I did it, I'd just be reinforcing what I was trying not to reinforce. I've done it in the power of my will to do it. So for me, God had to get me to the point of surrender. It took me 6 weeks of misery of arguing and fighting with God to surrender. Then I only surrendered on the outside. I only said the words. I didn't mean them on the inside. I said the words because I thought it might twist his arm to change things. But it really didn't. So for a month, all I got was, be still. No, I loved being still up until the point he told me to be still. Now, what he did, I had grown my spirit to such strength that my soul was subservient for the majority of the time. Other than I was tethered with a short tether, soul and spirit. So when I went into heaven, soul and spirit goes into heaven. My spirit might want to stay there. My soul comes out. I'm pulled back. So I was tethered. That was sort of the limitation that my soul had, because my soul needed to know what was going on when I went into heaven, because I needed to know. And if I didn't know, so God had to deal with the need to know. And I think for all of you, whatever your redemptive gifts are, if you couldn't do them, who would you be? That's the question. It's the question. I had to answer the question, and I failed miserably in answering the question. So be still. Why do I need to be still? What am I being still for? What are you doing? Why can't I see you? Blah, 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 blah. For a month. Every time I got into the presence of God, which I couldn't feel or see or sense, because all I was told was to be still, I couldn't be still, and I fought for a month. I got to the next month, I thought, oh, please, God, please let this month be better. Couldn't see a thing. Now, he totally tricked me into this whole process. He said, would you spend 4 months with me in intimacy in a deeper way? Yes, I will. I get there, can't see a thing. So the next thing, wait. Wait for what? What am I waiting for? Why am I waiting? What are you doing while I'm waiting? I was so miserable. I was so, so miserable. After 2 weeks of that misery, I said, God, I surrender. But I just said the words because I didn't want to feel misery. I wanted to see again. But of course, it didn't change because I didn't mean it. So then another 2 weeks of misery. I'm trying not to argue with him. But in the end, it was that I was at the end of my tether, the end of my rope. I got to the point where I surrender. If I never hear you say another thing ever, for it, I don't care. I give up. I don't need to know anything. Do whatever you're going to do. Don't tell me. I don't want to know. That's where I got. So I got to that point. And then the next month comes, rest. Great. Every time in my quiet time with God, every morning, I went to sleep. I'm totally at rest. I'm sleeping. You're not saying anything to me anyway. So what's the point? So I did. Then I got to the next month. Now, what triggered this process? I made a ketubah contract with him. I heard the teaching. It's like I heard Shane Willard's teaching on it, and it was just like, oh, yeah, this would be really good. But I had written it from the perspective of a performance orientation. See? It's like, yeah, here I am, God. Now, here's my expectations of you. Yeah, I want this, and I want this, and I want this, and I need this, and I need this, and I need this. Now, none of those were wrong things, but you don't get your marriage contract out every day if you're married and remind your spouse of the vow she made on your wedding day, do you? Right, dear, you promised this 38 years ago. Hey, you're not keeping up your end of the deal. I want more of this, please. You don't do it. It's like the ketubah is to remind me of my desire for my destiny. All I need from him is, hey, you're going to give me everything I need to do it. But I made 68 things on my ketubah. Yeah. And they were the broadest perspectives I could possibly come up with at the time. It's like, I will be able to access every point in the whole realms of every realm of heaven and everywhere else that I need. I mean, I had everything like that on it. So I got to this point, I burnt it. It was like, here you go, have it. I didn't look at that for 4 years. And then when I taught it, because it took me 4 years to have permission to teach it here, I eventually taught it. Oh, what was in it? I went and looked at it. I found that virtually everything I'd put in there, which was as wide as I could make it, I was already living in 4 years later. So it triggered this process. So when I burnt it, it wasn't just a symbolic burning. Every one of those 68 things I died to. They died. I grieved. I'd never grieved in my life over anything. I figured the Bible said he carries my griefs and sorrows. So, hey, you take them. I don't need to grieve. Now, that was just ridiculous because you do have to deal with things emotionally. I analytically packaged things quite a lot in my past. So I didn't have to feel them. You know, put them away, put them in a box. Don't have to deal with that. It's gone. But actually it hasn't because you haven't really dealt with it. So I knew how to package. So I went through the grief process. I literally went through it, body, soul, spirit, everything. I was at the end of myself totally. I didn't even have the strength to pray in tongues. I couldn't do anything. I got to that point, and at the beginning of this process, before God tricked me into it, he said, the 21st of February, 2012 will be your breakthrough day. So then I remembered. So I'm in February and I'm in this misery. I did a 21-day fast, and because he said, do a 21-day fast. Should I say this? The water cooler back there that I used, I didn't clean it out from the last time I did a 40-day fast. I tried. I thought I did. So I poisoned myself. I'm 8 days into the fast and I can't keep anything down. No water. I'm only water fasting, so I can't keep any water down. So I'm really miserable physically, and everything is just like the end of it. It's like it was bad. I was so urgent. My wife phoned the doctor and they put me on, and she said, you need to speak to the doctor. So the doctor said, well, what's happening? I said, I'm on a spiritual fast. It's okay. It's all right. It'll be okay. I'm all right. So 8 days without water. I was all right. You know, I wasn't really, but I was all right from my perspective because I was in this. So I got to the end of it. I grieved and I grieved and I grieved. God separated my soul and spirit. The ties my soul had to my spirit, separated them, reintegrated them from spirit to soul with a long quantum entanglement that now I went into the realms of heaven. The 21st of February, I woke up and I was perfectly, completely well, physically, emotionally, spiritually. Bang, like that. And I went into heaven, and I've never stepped out of heaven spiritually ever since. But I'm connected. So whatever I am in all those places, now I've got all these connections, I can live in that realm. So sometimes it's quite a tough process. I know that God has to deal with our soul if he's going to bring us into the fullness of sonship. He is not going to entrust us with the authority to create what we were called to create and do what we're called to do when we may be using that for our own glory, but to validate our identity. He wants to show us who we really are. And that's nothing to do with doing anything at all. It's being. I remember being in the Father's garden. I would go into the Father's garden. He would say, just be. I didn't know how to just be. Wow, look at this stuff. It just be. Every time I would try and do something, he would just be. And I was like, how can you look at this amazing place and just be? It's like, I didn't know how to do it. So then he said, lie down, just be. So I lay down and I started to levitate. So I levitate and I was floating in the air, like I was part of the air. But then I started to rock. Oh, this is nice. Just be. Now, the first moment I could just be, it was like, now the technical term for this is spaghettification. Literally, every atom, particle of my being went out and connected to the whole of creation. And I felt what it was, what it used to be, because I was connected to my eternal memory of what it used to be when there was no absence of light and when there was no fall. And I'm like, wow. And I felt the symphony of creation and all the parts singing and the harmonies, and it was just like, wow, I remember this. Then I come into the present and the discord and the disharmony and the fact that there's a groaning and everything else. And I'm like, ah, we need to see this restored. I mean, when you don't know what it was like, how do you know what it should be like? So we've got to reconnect to it. And so God wants to bring us to a place where we can reconnect to it in such a way that we're inspired and motivated to say, my whole life is about restoration. I want restoration of everything, because I felt what it was like. That's just the beginning. What will it be when it begins to go beyond what it was to where God intends it to be and where we're involved in the co-creation process? So be open to whatever it takes. You know, when I started teaching, I mean, I've got a whole series of teaching over there called the Sons Arise teaching. And I did 6 intensive conferences last year, which were intense. They were more intensive than this. I crammed in as much as I could cram in with activations, you know, and it was like we did 14, 15 sessions in 2.5 days. It's like we crammed it in. They are intensive and they're designed. I did one on engaging the dark cloud. I did one in living in dual realms because I wanted to share my experiences in a more, I can only give you just a short testimony of it. There I went into it in depth. So if you want to sort of explore it, they are over there if you dare. The people who came to them, you know, we're only small groups. We did like 20, 30 people. It was intense. But I think they felt some of it was quite life changing. So I'd encourage you to pursue whatever it takes in your life for you to come into that level of sonship, maturity, that he will entrust you with more and more and more. This is what he said. I will include my children in the councils and assemblies of my heavenly abode, not just reveal my domain when they reach levels of maturity necessary. So whatever's necessary, say, God, I'm open. Whatever's necessary, because if you want to get there, it's got to be whatever's necessary, whatever it takes. Or you can settle for being a mere mortal. But if you want to go through the process, it's a transformation, not a instant change with a magic wand. Transformation by the renewing of your mind. You cannot renew your own minds. No matter how many scriptures you stick on the mirror and try and confess, it is not going to renew your mind. It is the living word that renews your mind. It is the living word with the living sword of the spirit that separates soul and spirit and reintegrates you. So we need that maturity. My deepest desire is for my children to return to the place of their conception within the recesses of my heart. That's where he is wooing you to go. Back to that place where you were a thought. Before you were a thought, you were a desire within his heart for relationship. And then that desire birthed the thought, and the thought birthed the creative process where you could just be. Because essentially he didn't create you, you just became, effectively. You know, you were begotten, which is not created. Now, if you understand, Jesus was the only begotten son, actually, so are we begotten out of who he is. He wants to take you back there. The reason is, so all my children can truly know me and the deeper revelation of who they are as my sons, heirs, inheritors, of all that I have created for them and all that I have created them for. So there's the two things. He's created all this for us in sonship, and he's created us for that. And that's why we need to reconnect with this amazing relationship. So he's created everything for us. He's created everything, created us for everything. That's why everything's got to get restored. It's everything. My sons were conceived to be co-creators, not just co-heirs, as they are all made in our image, endued with abilities of sonship. I desire to restore everything, including your identity, position, authority, abilities, knowledge, wisdom, relationship, connection to the created order. He wants to restore everything. Son, I desire to remove the limitations of the finite and the mortal nature of your minds, and restore the limitless of your transcendent and infinite origins. Now, you could spend a month meditating in that phrase. And he would unveil to you what he unveiled to me when I did it. Because it's no point me telling you what he unveiled to me, because I'm just giving you information. What I'm saying is, he'll do that for you. So when he says son, he's not talking to me alone. He's talking to all of us who are his sons. Now, sons is male and female. There's no male and female in the kingdom. Son is a position from the point of the full inheritor and the full birthright. And there is no male and female from my perspective in the kingdom at all. God does not look at gender like we do, you know, and he looks at us as a spirit being of light, not just what we look at on the outside. The restoration of all things is but the beginning, not the end. The restoration of all things includes your consciousness so that you can continue to expand and not be contained to the restoration of what was, but be free to become all you're capable of becoming. It's like limitless. Hello. Limitless. Son, my mind is limitless and infinite, and we designed our children in our image to be like us, relational beings of limitless creative potential. That's you. That's your identity from God's perspective. That's the thoughts that he has about you. Limitless creative potential. We need to learn how to create, which we will learn in the next thing if I ever get to it. Son, you know, on the first session, I did 30 slides of 90. So I always overestimate. But I'll make all the slides available to you. So you'll get them, even though I didn't say them, you'll still be able to read them. And I'll do the same with this if I never quite get there. Which, you know, may well possibly be true, particularly if I'm pulling my mouse out and getting rid of my thing. No. Okay. All right. Let me go on with some of the conversations we had. Son, the limited, restricted, finite, mortal existence experienced by all my children was never our intention, but was the choice of mankind once it left the tree of life for the DIY tree existence of self-limitations and restrictions. We have limited ourselves by choosing to go with the limit of our present knowledge. There is so much more to go beyond into. Son, the possibilities are limitless for the restored mind when body, soul, and spirit are in harmony with each other and with the circle of our loving dance. He's quite poetic, God, when he says stuff like this. And it's like, again, that's no good just reading that or listening to it. You need to get into the circle of that loving dance. Experience it. Allow him to encompass you around and dance around you and incorporate you within that amazing dance. Restoration is not just for the external that can be seen, but also for all that cannot be seen and all that is within. There's no limitation to this. The full scope of restoration cannot be grasped by an unrenewed mind, but nevertheless, the reality still exists beyond the wildest dreams of even the most creative human minds. It is so much more than we can imagine or think. And I can imagine a lot. I do. You know, I love daydreaming in that I just let my creative thing just go and begin to visualize and see some of the things that God's spoken to me about. Because if you don't see it like that, you're never going to create it. So you've got to capture it. Now, I'm not talking about a vision per se, but the perception of it is really important. So from the relative to the quantum, the visible, temporal, tangible to the invisible, eternal, intangible, from the macro to the micro, physical and spiritual, dimensional and transdimensional, all will be restored to the original intention of my desire. But that is only the return to what was intended to be the beginning, not the end. Now that pretty much expands things. So the body and mind do need to be restored. Eyes capable of seeing all wavelengths of light. Now I have learnt to see with the three different pairs of eyes that I've got. I've got eyes in the back of my head. In reality, you've got the eyes, the natural eyes, you've got the eyes of your heart, and you've got the eyes of your spirit. Now if the Lama seven eyes, maybe we've got a whole load more eyes, perhaps. We need to explore how we use them to begin to perceive, engage, and understand reality. But I can use my spiritual eyes to engage the spiritual realm that's here, and I can see that wavelength of electromagnetic energy, which is given off by the angelic realm and other things that are here. Now, I learned to do that, and I practiced until I could do it at will, whenever I want. Now, I don't do it very often, because A, it's distracting when you see all this activity going on, and all your angels, and, you know, I mean, there's a lot here. You know, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of portals that have been opened. There's a lot of things that have been coming through. There's a lot of those orbs and things flying around. I mean, there's stuff, you know, and I only need to see it when I need to see it. So I see when I need to see, because I'm using those eyes to see. We need ears capable of hearing all the wavelengths of sound, and not just hearing the wavelengths of sound, but using sound in focus to do things for us. They're discovering, obviously, sound can levitate things. And obviously, we did the cymatics thing with all that amazing sound and the energy of what it was producing, you know, and the sound that affects water molecules and all those things. They did use sound to move material. They built the pyramids using sound and light. You know, I've been in the Great Pyramid of Giza about 7 times. I was taken there no matter what. I kept going back there. You know, I found holidays which were dirt cheap, and I went, oh, pyramids again. Great. And, you know, I went in those pyramids. Something about them just drew me. I went in there, and I felt something. I felt something about it. But I went, well, how did they make that? So I looked on, you know, they made, you know, thousands of slaves dragging these great big pillars. If you've not been on them or in them, you've no idea how big they are. They are enormous, and they're perfectly aligned with pure north. I mean, it is impossible to do it, even with today's things, really. If you took the Great Pyramid of Giza and took all the stones, I'm talking about 16-foot blocks of rock, it would form a ring around France 2 meters high. I mean, it is enormous, you know. So I asked God, you know, when I first went into heaven, he said a lot of times, he said, what do you want to know? Now, I asked him some things that I wanted to know. Now, I wish I'd asked him some other things. Because when I asked him, I thought, oh, why did I ask that? Why didn't I ask this, this, or this? But I asked. First thing I asked him is, how do you walk on water? Now, I don't know why I asked that. But he said, well, I could have done it this way. I could have done it that way. I could have done it this way. But I did it this way. I controlled the vibratory frequency of the molecules of the water. And when I stepped on them, they were solid. So now I know how to walk on water. Now, have I ever had an occasion to do it? No. But when I do, I know how to do it. Because my mind and my consciousness will affect those vibrational frequencies of the molecules of water, and they will become solid if I choose to do it that way. Or I may choose to just hover and float over it. Who knows? But I went back on the timeline, and I saw the pyramids being built. And they were built using sound and light. Those blocks that were that big were 600 miles, I think, down the Nile. They weren't local stone. And they used sound and they used light to cut them. We will get those abilities back when our minds get reconnected and restored back to their original purpose and condition. So I want to be able to perceive all of the sounds, fragrances, frequencies that exist. When you go into the realms of heaven, you engage things way beyond what you can do here. Well, aren't we supposed to have heaven here? Are we not supposed to see more here? So I want to be able to have a body that's capable of multidimensional travel, not just a mind and a spirit and a soul. It's like, that's good. But Adam was able to travel with his whole being because he was encompassed with his spirit, and he was able to travel with his whole body. I want that back. You know, and I don't particularly want to go in a warp drive spaceship particularly. I mean, yeah, I would. Yes, I would, actually. Yes. Yeah, I'm lying. I would. Yeah, I would quite fancy that. But I would also want to think and be there. Because there's travel and the way we exist, our mind has so much potential to create reality, choose reality, express reality. Bodies with instantaneous reparation if we get them damaged in any way, with no disease that can touch us. Now, John G. Lake lived that way. They put bubonic plague stuff on him and it died. You know, this is not just something that's never happened before. Right throughout history, you will see people with these things that have happened in their lives. And I want them all. Do you not want them all?
Yeah.
I don't want to miss out on anything that was intended for me. I'm not content with just a little bit. I want my full, restored, mature sonship. Now, I'm willing to go through the process, however long it takes, and whatever it takes to get there. But I know, because I've seen it, all of us can have the restoration of what our body, soul, and spirit is fully capable of. So we can go beyond the works of Jesus to the greater works, whatever those might be. And I think those are, again, beyond what most people can even imagine or think. Now, we know Jesus walked on water. He walked through things. He became invisible. He created and manipulated matter. He turned water into wine. You know, I wouldn't have done that. I don't like wine. I would have turned water into ice cream. I love ice cream. But he did it. He was able to control the elemental aspects of the particles of that and change them into a different atomic structure. Because they were created that way with vibration and frequency and mass and energy. And when you know they're created that way, you can recreate them that way and transmute them that way and change their shape in that way. And if people can change into werewolves, I don't want to change into a werewolf, but I might need to change into something. Who knows? So I want the ability to do it if I need to do it. I won't be stuck there saying, oh my word, wouldn't it be good if I could do this right this second? I want to be able to do it when I need to do it and see it. So there's so much more. Jesus knew the thoughts and intentions of people's hearts. Now, I believe that can be used wrongly to control people and create fear. Because if I told you I could read every one of your thoughts right now, half of you will probably be, oh, can he? So I'm not saying that I can. And even if I could, I wouldn't. Unless Jesus said you are mandated to do this for a very particular reason, do it. I wouldn't use or abuse it. It's not party tricks. Now, I know I'm making it fun, but it's not a party trick. The reality of this is there needs to be a mandate and a purpose. Jesus didn't just go around doing party tricks. There was a purpose of walking on water. There was a purpose in multiplying bread. There was a purpose in creating the coin in the fish's mouth. Because he created by choosing it to be there. It really didn't fall out of a fisherman's pocket and was swallowed by a fish. I've heard someone say that that's what must have happened. What if he'd swallowed it? It'd been his belly, not his mouth. You know, Jesus controlled the weather. So there's all sorts of things which we're beginning to engage with. But as we begin to realize that creation itself responds to us, how? And this is a question I've been asking. And there have been a few conversations I've had with people. Because if creation is longing, waiting, that's a sentient emotion, isn't it? If it's groaning, that's a sentient thing. It's not inanimate. So in what way is it groaning sentient? It's an interesting thing. You know, it's like, is it the Star Wars universe? The metachlorians that are in the fabric of everything that actually mean we connect to the Force. And we're aware of what's going on in the Force. Well, the Force is just another name for potentially. Now, I know you think, oh, where is he going with this? Well, the reality is we got to connect to creation. Otherwise, it's not going to respond to us. So if there's an emotional creation, how? Now, I'll throw this out there because I'm not going to go into it. But I want you to think about elementals. Because some of how we connect to creation is not through what our spirits per se, but through elementals that are connected to creation. Now, the best example of this would be, for me, Lord of the Rings and Treebeard, the Ents. Because trees are a fundamental part of creation. We could not exist without trees. And I know people hug trees. There's a reason for hugging trees, in reality, because they do carry something. Not that I do go, I'm not a tree hugger. You know, not yet, anyway. But there is something that's actually sentient within creation that responds to sonship or responds to the lack of sonship. And when we have hurricanes and things like that, friends of mine were doing court cases to look at dealing with hurricanes. So one of them went into the court, commanded to hear the accusers who had the legal right to bring this hurricane into, this is the one that was coming last year into the US. What came as an accuser was an elemental. And this elemental said, you know, and what are you, the spirit of the wind or whatever, blah, blah, blah. And said, no, I'm an elemental. And because sonship has not conformed us to obey the intention of sonship, we have been influenced by other forces. Wiccans, were they use elemental things? Because we don't. We haven't got the relationship with them that we should have. That means we're not connected to creation in a way so that those things don't respond to us in the way they should. The Greek word for it is stoichion. And some people call them stoichions. They are what God has created to connect us to creation. Now, I'm not saying that they're not a fallen angel or anything like that. They are something created and something sentient, but something less than, you talk about water spirits. Now, some of that is bad things that are not elementals of water. So the elementals are air, earth, wind, fire, that sort of thing. And there's the elements. And although I don't believe the scripture in Corinthians, in Galatians, is necessarily talking about that specifically, the Greek word is elemental, and I think it's helpful to have some sort of thing to connect to. What I'm saying is, as we discover our sonship, we will connect with things in a different way. When I connected to creation, when I went out into it, I felt sentience. I felt, yeah, it's there. So just be open. You know, be open. Some people who are fragmented and broken, who have ministry in that area, they are hypersensitive to certain things, and they seem to sense some of the elementals and have a connection to them that most people don't. If you're interested, you can go on Dan Duval's website, and there's an interview with someone called Ruthie Andrews who goes into it there. I'm putting it out there because I think we're going to need it in the future. You may not need it fully now, but I may not see you again. So I'm going to say it now. So there we go. Dan Duval and Ruthie Andrews. So we do need to know how to engage the weather and other things that Jesus did. So we need a restoration of the abilities of our minds that are capable of using those abilities to do that. So telepathic communication. That's how I communicate in the realms of heaven all the time. I'm not actually speaking with words. In the way, it's like the atmosphere of heaven isn't the same as the earth. You don't need to do that. So you communicate mind to mind. We communicate heart to heart. Telekinetic power to move things, shift things, transform things, transmutating abilities. Creative thought to create something with your thinking. You know, I have birthed a galaxy. It was a bit like one of my take out me at the end of the thing. Oh, is that easy? Now, he did say to me, one day you will be responsible for this. But you're not now, so relax. I also was shown a galaxy, which was an unformed mass of stars and didn't have any shape. You know, the Milky Way has a shape. Other galaxies have shape. And I was inspired to move the stars into position. And do you know what shape I made? No. That shape. And as I did it, I saw the stars begin to move into position that respond to the desire of my heart. Now, I'm a little bit like a jack of all trades and a master of very few. Because God gets me, shows me things. I've got a testimony of it. I can relate to other people doing it, but I don't do it. I want to teach other people to do it. I can do these things. I do a lot of legislation. That's my main thing. Governmental legislation in the realms of heaven. That's my main key. But I want to equip everyone to do what they need to do. So it's helpful to have an experience that you can relate to. So someone says, oh, I did this. I thought, oh, yeah, I remembered that. Yeah. And so it gives you some insight to be able to relate to where people are at. And although I don't have full understanding of it all, I can relate and validate their experience and say, yeah, this is good. Keep pursuing it. Get the revelation that God's going to give you of it because it's a good thing. So I've learned a lot. And God keeps moving me into something new, into something new, into something new, into something new. Because then it's like, oh, and then I got some new things to say. But I don't necessarily stick on one particular place other than the sort of the legislative thing. So all these things, bilocation, pre-post-cognition, all things Jesus did. He knew what was in Nathaniel's thing was before. He knew Peter was going to do some stuff. Time travel. It's like, I love time traveling. You know, not as a vacational occupation, but as a thing of going and doing things that are in time. You know, it's like whenever I'm available, God started to use me like that. And, you know, that spot over there is where I used to stand when we actually had singing. I was there. That's another story if you want to go there. But I used to stand there and I'm like, oh, I'm just lost because I've got no responsibility. I passed all the responsibility of the meetings to other people to say, hey, learn how to do this stuff. Go for it. So I'm there. I'm in around the throne room. All of a sudden, I'm somewhere else. Now, I'm gone. This is a total trance-like thing. I'm out of the room. I didn't know whether physically I was here or not. Afterwards, I said, oh, was I here? Did I go anywhere? And they said, well, no, you look like you did, though. Because you get that sort of glazed expression. Yeah, Justin's expression. Yeah, I actually had Justin's expression. I did. And I was in that realm, and I was in that place of that realm, and I was back in 1824 in the U.S., in the southern states of the U.S., at a huge plantation building. And I'm there, and whoa. No, how do you know? It's like, well, I don't know. I just knew. So I was there. I go and knock on the door. I go in, and there's a whole lot of people all wailing and crying. And there was a baby crying, and the mother had died in childbirth. So I'm immediately, my emotions are connected to these people. So, and they've obviously been calling out on God, and he responded, and he sent me. So I'm there, I go in, they explain what's happened. So I'm now like, okay, what am I going to do? So you just do. You know, I didn't think about it. So I lay over this woman, stretched over her, lay my body on her. My spirit is going to the cloud of witnesses. And I'm like, you need to come back. So I don't want to come back. No. God has sent me to bring you back. Can you please hold my hand? No, I don't want to come back. God, do something here. So eventually she held my hand and I pulled her back out of that realm and back into her body. And she came back to life and everyone was rejoicing and I slipped out and came back. Now I'm like, God, what was that about? He said, she has more children to bear. Another son in 2 years' time will be extremely significant in my kingdom. This needs to happen. So I was tempted to, who was it? But yeah, but I didn't, because I didn't feel. Then I thought, oh, 1824. Can I go and look up who was born in 1824 in the southern states? And I'd find, but I don't need to do that anymore, you see. I'm free from the need to know. If he wanted to tell me, he would tell me. I'm just here to do whatever he wants me to do. And if I made myself available, then you can do all those sorts of things. And I've found myself in the US quite a few times doing stuff like that. And I don't know why. I didn't particularly have any affinity to the US at the time. But then God gave me one. You know, and I've spent quite a lot of time engaging with people. And most of the people I have a relationship with are in the US. And it's like, because I went into the court. Well, no, where was I? I was in the temple with the train of his robe fills the temple and the altar and the seraphim and all this stuff. I was in there. It was on New Year's Eve years ago. I'm in there and I'm like, just wow, this is amazing. It's great. And the seraphim start looking at me like with eyes of fire. Like they were penetrating my whole being. And I'm like, what have I done? You know, and I thought, what have I done? Why are you looking at me like that? But what they were looking at was beyond me. So I looked around and there was this golden bow and a quiver of golden arrows, which had red cords attached to them. So then I look up, because normally I'm fixed on Jesus. I'm fixed on him more than any of the Father. I so I'm not that observant quite often is going on because I'm captivated. Now, sometimes I go back because he says, you missed so much the last time you were here. You need to come back and look again because I wanted to show you some stuff. So I go back. But this occasion, so I saw these maps, all these maps. Some of them were dimensional maps and some of them, there's a map of the US. So I took this bow and I fired this ribbon. And it flew right into the northwest of US, Seattle area. And the ribbon went across. And then I fired it. And it went into the four corners. And the ribbons crossed. And it formed that shape. And as soon as I did it, it was like, I'm going to have to go to all those places. I had no desire to go to those places before. But immediately I did that, the desire was in my heart. And I went to Seattle in 2015, and it was a birth thing. A, for me, going, and then I went to all of those places. I went to the southeast, and then northeast, northwest, southwest. I've been to all of the places, and I thought, great, I've done it. Job done, complete. And then I made, well, it wasn't really a mistake, but I said, oh, good God, is there anything else you want me to do? And he said, yeah, I want you to go to the heart of the nation and the spine of the nation. Oh, that is. I mean, I have to have a map of the US on my desk to see where all the people I'm talking to are. Because it's a big place. Yeah. The UK is a small place. I mean, you could fit the UK and Texas probably 10 times, I imagine. It's a small place, the UK. So, yeah, this is something that when you begin to engage these realms, things just begin to create desire in you, things. So I went to all those places, and eventually I said, okay, yeah, if you want me to go, I have no idea where that is. So 2 weeks later, I get an email. We want to invite you to come. We've got a mandate to invite you to come to the heart of the nation. Oh, great. God's given me a mandate to come, so I'm coming. Where is it? So they said, Kearney, Nebraska. Oh, okay. Is that the heart of the nation? Great, fine. Well, it actually is. From this way, it's exactly halfway between the east and the west coast in a particular thing. Now, as soon as I said I was coming, it's like God said, oh, spine of the nation. Well, people invited me to come to Dallas, in Kansas. I went to Wichita. So I went up the spine and into the heart of the nation. And then God said, I want you to do a national summit. Because I've been to all the other four corners. So he said, oh, what's a national summit? I don't know. So he shows me. Gather all the people who came together for the four corners in the middle. And then start legislating for the connections between the four corners and between the north and the south and the east and the west to connect people up governmentally who would begin to take responsibility for their nation. And while you're there, redo the Constitution of the U.S. So he did, and God said, hey, listen to Gary Beaton, who's done this. So I was like, yeah, done this. But he said, no, I want you to do this with this group of people and step into heaven and do it together. And we had an awesome time. And people traveled. Some of them traveled for 36 hours by car to get there. I mean, it was an awesome thing. All because God just said, do this as a result of firing an arrow in heaven into a map. So there are some quite weird things if you respond and embrace. So all of these things, you know, are part of our process of relationship. So son, your sonship is the only priority you need to focus on. Everything else will flow out of our relationship. I just need to be a son. I don't have to think about anybody else, of anything else other than be a son and my relationship with creation and them. It all works. Meditation, being at rest, being mindful, will enable you to connect your consciousness to a deeper and higher level of reality. Most people don't know how to be mindful. They don't know how to live in the moment, in at that moment, because that moment is the convergence of time and eternity. Everything is converging on that moment. Most people miss most moments and don't embrace what's going on in that moment. So I had to learn to be mindful. So then it was like meditation. Now, I learned all the meditation things, but this was different. So what God showed me was, well, and I didn't know what it meant. He said, well, what do you do every day? Well, do this. Well, that's it. Put that together for people into a, hey, just relax, get loved, start being grateful, start forgiving, start engaging destiny, start framing that reality. So I did that, and it began to raise my conscious awareness of things that I didn't see before, because I was now in the moment that I had the time, even in that moment, to perceive things differently. You know, busyness is only a concept of the mind. I am never too busy to do what God says. Now, he's told me to do some things which have filled my diary over and over again. And when he said it, I'm like, really? But then as my diary gets full, all of the things that I used to do in the time that I'm now talking to people and engaging people around the world or traveling, I can do by expanding the time that I have got. So I know how long it takes to produce a 90-point PowerPoint slides. It takes a while, particularly if you're producing it from new and everything else. So I knew usually it would take me a day to 2 days of solid doing it. And I didn't have solid doing it, so it usually take me a week. So I'm doing all these other things. I have several PowerPoint slides that I need to do. I'm now operating non-linearly, so I have 8 PowerPoint slides open on my desktop. And I'm working on all of them. And I'm doing it all in an expanded time, rich time, whatever you want to call it. So now, in an hour, I can do what it took to do in a week. Because that hour for me is a week. I need it. I need that week. Because God says do all this. He didn't say don't do this anymore. So I have to manage my time so that time serves me and does not control me. You don't run out of time if time serves you. Because if God says for you to do something and gives you a mandate to do it, you do not need to worry about I don't have time to do it. Say yes. When you say yes, you've got the time. Yeah. You may have to learn to frame it somewhat, whether you're expanding it or contracting it. When you need to travel or be trans-relocated because you need to get there at a particular time. You know, I've done all that. Usually God showed me how to do it the first time, and then it's like, oh, it's over to you now. You know how to do this. You know, I was traveling to a meeting. It was actually to see Lindy and a friend, and I was late. You know, and I was traveling, and I wasn't worried because we just hang out anyway. So it wasn't like a thing, but I wanted to get a bit there. So I was driving, drove around the corner, and I was somewhere else. Didn't feel anything. Now, I was measuring my mileage. So I traveled back the same way, and it was 7 miles. I went 7 miles up the road, and I got there on time. Missed out a whole section of the journey. Oh, okay. So then I'm taking my daughter to the train station at Tiverton, which is about 35 miles away, 45 minutes or so by car. So I'm traveling in the car. We get about half a mile, huge traffic jam, backlog, stuck. So I'm sitting there. Okay, What am I going to do? Am I going to get around this? Am I going to, are we going to move? So my daughter is like, we're going to miss a train. We're going to miss a train. We're going to miss a train. Looked at, no other train. I'm going to miss, I've got the money for another ticket. I'm going to miss it. I'm like, calm down. We'll be okay. We'll get there. Took us 25 minutes to get through the traffic back up. And then of course, all the traffic is traveling. So you're sort of traveling. That's it. So we're going. She's like, we're not going to make it. We're not going to make it. We're not going to make it. We'll make it. You're in my, I didn't say this to her, but so I was thinking, you're within my bubble here. We will make it. And so I had to not listen to her, what she was saying, and therefore react to what she was saying and get into the fear, oh no, we might not make it. I just kept saying, we will make it. We'll make it. So I traveled there. We were traveling and traveling and traveling. I looked at the thing. We were 7 miles away and we had 2 minutes. And then we were there. So she got out of the car. I gave her a bag and she got on the train. Now, she didn't know. She didn't know. She just got there. She didn't know how that happened. I don't know how it happened other than I chose the reality and it happened. Because I wasn't going to adapt the fear-based approach or we won't make it. So what God did for me, I then had a testimony to do it again. And I've done that multiple times with flights and all of that stuff. You know, I was going to New Zealand and I had an hour stopover in Hong Kong. And we took off an hour late. So it's like, My first reaction is, it's okay, we'll be there on time. No fear, no panic. You don't pick up on the panic of all the other people who are around. We're all needing to make connections and all of those things. But no, we're going to be there. So I settled down in the plane to watch some movies. I like watching movies. I had 15 hours time, so I could watch a few. So I'm there watching these movies, and the guy comes over on the tannoy about an hour and a half into the flight. We're really sorry we took off late. We were hoping to make up time. It's a long flight. But we've got a really strong headwind, and I'm sorry we won't be able to make up the time we were hoping. We'll let you know about the connections and what to do later. So now I know why we're not going to make up the time. Wind. Well, I have an angel friend, an order of angels, called Winds of Change. So I said to Winds of Change, that traveled with me, Winds of Change, Sound of Many Waters, Refiner's Fire, and what's the other one? Transformation, they travel with me wherever I go. And they are here in the room. And I said to Winds of Change, can you change the wind, please? That's all I said. Half an hour later, the guy comes back and says, we've had a remarkable change of wind direction. We've got such a strong tailwind. And we got there on time. It's all in the moment. Take captive the thought. Choose the reality. The reality will begin to manifest. If you don't choose the reality and you go with the, you will just got what the reality would be if you didn't change it. We have the authority as sons to change reality and to outwork that reality. So I'm going to finish with this. I haven't got very far either, have I, really? But never mind. It's all good fun. You'll get all the rest of the slides. Light is electromagnetic energy. It's a key part of how our consciousness functions. Neurons in the human brain produce photons, which is capable of being the infrastructure for light-based communication and activity. God is light. We are light. And therefore, light is how things get communicated. Scientists found that the neurons in the mammalian brains were capable of producing photons of light called biophotons. Biophotons in the brain point to our consciousness directly being linked to light. And that's the picture they drew of biophotons producing all of these energy things within our brain that connects our consciousness to reality. If we're going to change reality, we need to focus those biophotons. We need to focus the light into a choice of reality which manifests. And I'll go into that a bit more tonight if I get to it. Now, God is creative light. There are various dimensions of light that operate at different speeds of light the closer you approach God. When you get to God, it's all now. So there's different realms that have different speeds of light. So you can be in one realm for an hour and it feels like a week. You can be in one realm for an hour, it feels like a month. You can be in one realm that feels like a bit of extra time than it is here. So they're slightly different. Energy is frequency vibrating electromagnetic wavelengths. So all of this, our spirits, our creative light, our spiritual consciousness, because we have a spiritual consciousness as well as a physical consciousness, and we need to re-engage them and connect them. That connects you to the eternal conscious awareness. Therefore, you choose from that consciousness rather than memory. If you keep choosing from memory, you'll keep getting what you got the last time.
Yeah.
And people keep doing it over and over and over again, making the same choices and getting the same results. Einstein called that insanity. Because you're doing the same thing and expecting something different. You aren't going to get something different until you change your conscious reality and choose something different. All of those things operate at different frequencies that actually are able to form reality around us. One of the core principles of quantum physics is the idea that reality, the photons that produce the light illusion that we occupy, exist in infinite possible states, the many world scenarios. So there are infinite possibilities that could exist, and when you choose one, it begins to collapse until it does exist. If you're double-minded, you can't do it. Because a double-minded person will default to the unstable reality they've already lived in. No one really wants that. So you've got to be single-minded to choose. So what happens is we choose that, we observe it, that collapses, and all the other potential realities fade away until they don't no longer exist. Then you've got another set for the next choice you make. So we need to start thinking about the single option that we choose and live inside of that, because it then begins to manifest around our lives. You may want to choose a healing reality. You may want to choose a health reality. You may want to choose lots of different realities that are aligned to you being able to fulfill your destiny every day. Living in dual realms enables us to connect and be quantumly entangled with a higher level of consciousness, theta waves. When we're joined to the Lord, we're joined in this one spirit. So we have a connection to the omniscience of God. And we're within the omniscience of God, so there's nothing that we need that we can't get or know. But it's a different level of consciousness. And if you keep operating, and I'll show you a slide, because otherwise I'm not going to finish this. Here's a slide, beta waves. Most of us live beta waves all the time. It operates at 12 hertz and up, fast brain waves. It's aroused by looking at the world around you, problem-solving mode. How do I see this and use my memory and my experience to fix the problem that I'm seeing? And that's what most of us operate, fast speed. Then you've got alpha waves. You close your eyes, get a little bit relaxed, start your imagination and your intuitive right side brain starts to activate. And all of a sudden, you're drawing on what's in you to begin to choose things around you and understand the world from a different perspective than just problem solving. So creativity, our soul is creative. Now, that's inbuilt into us, the latent power of the soul. I think there's a book by Watchman Nee. The power, soul is very powerful. That's why most of the New Age do their stuff in the power of the soul. There's a lot of power there, but there's still a limit to what you can know. And what even has been encoded in you by God, there's still a limit to that. Then you get theta waves. That's the, when you get to that drowsiness, daydreaming, first stage of sleep type of thing. Now you can live in that state. You start to get the indirect flow of revelation that comes from the spiritual realm, which is why you, when you're frantic and your mind is going around like a washing machine, it's so difficult to draw on that realm. You've got to get to the place where you can just rest. Then you've got delta waves. Delta waves are the sort of deep sleep waves, which they actually had. Now, I know a guy who was a dream doctor and a sleep doctor, and he did a whole lot of experiences on monitoring people's dream states. And what he found is that those people who were spiritually aware, who went to bed with a problem and rested, in the morning, they had solutions. And what they found were they were theta wave incursions into their delta wave sleep. So in other words, the spirit was communicating while they were sleeping. Their spirit, the Holy Spirit, doesn't matter which, so long as it's coming from the right source, that then you can learn to focus and function in all of those states simultaneously. We can be in delta wave even though we're not actually physically asleep. We're at such a place of peace and rest in Him that we're living in a place of peace state, that actually our mind can function in all of those things, flowing out of the realm of the spirit, flowing from what's within our soul, flowing from the all of it, and we need to learn how to do it. So the brain has the capacity to do it. All four rates can occur at once at varying amplitudes. So an example of this would be related to a brainwave and a string on a violin. All four strings make notes, yet one or more strings can dominate the overall sound to a greater volume by the pressure you're putting on one, but they're all actually playing. So you can have, sometimes problem solving is not wrong. You know, when I'm doing a piece of do-it-yourself work and I'm trying to fix a solution, I have experience in doing it that can help me. You know, there's no point going into a trance to fix something that I know how to do, because I know how to do it. So I'm drawing on that. But then there are other times when I don't know how to fix a situation, so I need to draw from another source. Now, that could be the creativity that God has placed within me to problem solve, to deal with things. So I draw from the capacity that's within my soul, because God placed it there, because I am creative. I can use my imagination creatively. Or I can draw from the omniscient source, from my spirit, from eternity, from the now of God, to draw in and begin to operate that in the now. And God wants us to be able to do all this stuff. You know, it's like, whoa, seeing the world as it really is and choosing realities and using a fullness of our mind. See, the thing is, the brain functions in such a way that there are things within the brain that are connected. There are things which in the brain that are not yet connected that will be connected. Our brain functions at 100%, but they only know what 3% of it does. That's really, it's functioning, but they don't know how consciousness works. Science can't understand consciousness. They can tell you how the neurons fire and all the stuff, but all the glial cells and the other things around in your brain, they don't know what they do. But they're designed to function in sonship, so that we can function in this way, and actually we begin to choose the realities that bring creation back into its restored state, as we can see it, feel the heart of God, know the heart of God, and then function that way as sons of God. Restored functions of our conscious mind to begin to choose the realities that align with the now of God. That's what God's calling us to do. So what you're doing and what you have the capacity to do is way beyond what you think and what you can imagine. Just by pure soul power, your spirit is limitless in what it potentially can do. So I want to encourage you to continue to ask God to deconstruct, to renew your minds, and then begin to expand your consciousness. Because it's the expansion of our consciousness which is going to expand how we do this.